We want to continue with the message that we started last Sunday. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, we read, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word, but not only the reading, Father, but the preaching of your word this morning. As we look at these important things that the Apostle Paul shares with the churches of Galatia in regard to the fact that they were not to be deceived, they were not to be weary in well-doing, and they were not to be ungenerous in the work of the Lord. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would work in our hearts this morning, that we might take to heart the things that are shared here. May the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last week we looked at this phrase, "Be not deceived." There are three commands that we are given in this particular passage of Scripture. The first is, "Be not deceived." In the Greek language, it could be translated, "Let us not be deceived." Then we have in verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." And then in verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." And so we have three commands that are given to us in this particular passage. And we emphasized last week, "Be not deceived." In God's Word, over and over again, especially in the New Testament Scriptures, we are told as Christians to not be deceived. We read in James 1 and verse 16, "Do not err," or "do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." It's the same word that we have here in Galatians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." And then in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 we read, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Ultimately, the fault of deception lies with you and with me. The fault of deception. We can say, "Well, that false teacher deceived me." But understand this, God has told you in advance that there are going to be false teachers. And you have a responsibility to filter everything that comes into your ear gate or into your eye gate through the Word of God. That way, we will not be deceived. We have a responsibility to filter what comes our way through the eyes and through the ears, to filter it through the precious Word of God and let the Word of God indicate things that are not true. The Bible is God's detector, and the Holy Spirit is the one that turns on the yellow light. The Holy Spirit of God will keep us from error. If we desire more than anything else for the Holy Spirit to reign supreme in our hearts and lives, He will keep us from error. This is the joyous thing about the Christian life. We're not left here to try to eke out the Christian life, to somehow struggle and at the end we'll say, "Well, I did the best I could. I tried to live the Christian life." God gave us the power source for the Christian life. It is the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, through the Holy Spirit of God, I can live the Christian life. This is how it works. So many times we think that somehow the Christian life is a little coat and we put it on and we wear it to school and we wear it to church and we wear it to work, and then when we get home we take off our Christian coat and we're done for the day. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is walking in the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, bearing forth the fruit of the Spirit of God. That's been the emphasis here in Galatians chapter 5 and in chapter 6. Be not deceived. Why? Because God is not mocked. In other words, there will never be a false teacher that somehow will slip past God. He's not mocked. He is not going to be laughed at, said, see here, I got by you, God. Absolutely not. God is our eternal watchman. Isn't that wonderful? And nothing slips past Him. Thou, God, seest me. Our Lord sees all things. His eye, the Bible says, roams to and fro throughout the earth. And He sees all things. He sees all false teachers. Nothing slips by Him. He will not be mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now we said last time that there are two fields in which the Christian can sow. Paul is reminding the Galatians there's two fields in which you can sow. You can sow to the flesh after the Judaizers, or you can sow to the Spirit of God after the Spirit of God. Those are the two fields. I ask you this morning, what field are you sowing in today? What field are you sowing in today? Because if you're sowing in the field of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption, the Bible says. But if you're sowing in the field of the Spirit, then you are sowing in a place that's going to reap forth life everlasting. A quality of life that is everlasting. You know, whenever we read eternal life or everlasting life, we need to understand that it's not only speaking of duration of time. By the way, in eternity there will be no time. So to speak of duration is not right, is it? Eternity is without beginning or without end. So what is eternal life? It is a quality of life in Christ. And when we sow to the Spirit, we understand our life in Christ. We understand eternal life. What is eternity going to be? It's going to be eternally sowing to the Spirit. Eternally praising the Lord Jesus Christ and magnifying His name and serving Him for all eternity. That's eternal life. It's not about duration of time. It's about quality of life. I want to tell you something. When you take eternity and the quality of life that we're going to have there, why would anyone want to cling to this life? Why would anyone want to cling to this life? Oh, I tell you, folks, value systems are revealed as we end our lives here upon this earth. I've been reading through a book dealing with the last words of sinners and saints by Herbert Lockyer. How many of you have ever heard of that particular book, Last Words of Sinners and Saints? And it is a record of the last sayings of men, and it's been an amazing thing to read of the value systems of believers as compared to the value systems of unsaved individuals at the end of life, of scrapping for life and realizing I'm on my way to hell, I just need more life here upon this earth, and the attitudes and the philosophies that are brought out. Folks, your value system will be revealed sooner or later. What you've been sowing in, whether it's been in the field of the flesh or in the field of the Spirit, will sooner or later be revealed. It will all be revealed when we get to heaven. For we find there at the judgment seat of Christ that God's fire is going to be out. And by the way, I believe when it speaks of the fire of heaven, it's talking about the Word of God. That's going to be the fire by which we're going to be judged by. The eternal flame of the Word of God is going to burn up our works that are done in the flesh. Where we've sowed in the field of the flesh, that's all going to be destroyed because that's wood, hay, and stubble. But the fires of the Word of God cannot destroy that which was sown in the field of the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a glorious thought to realize that that work which is done in the Spirit, that work that has been sown in the Spirit is going to reap life everlasting. That fruit will remain. It will be gold, silver, and precious stones, and it will be worthy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, this is serious business here. Be not deceived. Don't think that you're going to get eternal rewards by sowing in the field of the flesh. It's not going to happen. How do you know whether you're sowing in the field of the flesh or not? Well, let's think about it for just a few moments. Sowing in the Spirit would mean producing the fruit of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, abiding in Christ, walking in the Word, setting your affection on things above and not things here below, being not conformed to this world but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. It is giving your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's what it means to sow in the Spirit. If you're not doing that, guess what? You're sowing in the field of the flesh. If you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're not serving the Lord, if you're not being transformed by the renewing of your mind, if you are not abiding in Christ, then you are sowing in the field of the flesh. And all the things you have sown will bring forth fruit. It will bring forth fruit. That fruit will be in heaven, that which was sown in the flesh, and God will have to purge it. He'll have to destroy it with His Word by fire, because He cannot allow that to be in His presence. Cannot be in heaven. The sinning Christian is sowing in the wrong field. The reward for sowing in the right field is the eternal quality of life that only Jesus Christ can give. What kind of quality of life do you want to have? That's the question. The Bible says that He is preparing a mansion for us, that He's preparing a place for His children. What kind of materials are you sending up? What field are you sowing in? Oh, I want to tell you something. The Bible says that there'll be some saved so as by fire. They won't have much because they spent all their time sowing in the flesh. They spent their time taking the money that God gave them and they sowed it here in this earth. They were sowing their money in this earth, trying to reap rewards here and now, but they miss out on sowing in the Spirit because all they're thinking about is right now. I got to take care of myself right now. Wait a minute. God said He would take care of you. He would take care of you. Are you sowing to the flesh with your money? How about with your children? Some people are sowing to the flesh with their children. They're giving them earthly values. They're not giving them heavenly values. They're giving them earthly values. So what are we going to reap with our children? We're going to reap the flesh. We're going to reap corruption. I couldn't help but think. I read this past week of that wicked woman, Anna Nicole Smith, whose son died at age 20. And they were talking about how this boy grew up. It was enough to make you vomit. This woman took this boy everywhere she went, to the Playboy Mansion. He grew up with nudity from the time he was a little child. The boy at age 20 was on antidepressants. His life was a wreck and a mess, and he was living on drugs to be able to get through the day, and he died. I don't know the cause. Hasn't been released yet, but I would imagine that that's what's going to come out. There's some type of drug use, something that happened relative to drugs in that boy's life. What was she sowing from the time he was born? She was sowing to the flesh. Sowing to the flesh. How about you? It's easy to talk about her. She's a wicked woman, but how about the Christian this morning? What are you sowing to? We all get surprised when our young people don't want to go to church whenever they graduate from high school. Or they'll go off to some church that's not preaching God's Word. We get surprised that we don't have young people that are desirous to go and serve the Lord in Christian ministry. We are so surprised that young people go off and go astray. But in reality, it is what? Reaping what we have sown. Some people don't like that. Some people don't like that. They refuse to believe that. Oh, no. You just say, well, they're their own individual. No, they're not. They're a product of a home. And we need to understand that. We have preachers today who have young people, boys and girls, that have gone off, they've lived their lives, and then they've gone astray. And the churches say, well, you know, after all, it really wasn't the pastor's fault. And so they let them stay in the pulpit. I want to tell you something. We need to follow the Word. A pastor that cannot rule his house cannot rule the house of God. Isn't that what God said in His Word? That's the standard that Todd Brainerd's going to have to live up to. If the day comes that my boys and girls go astray, it'll be because I didn't do it right by God's Word. And I'm not worthy to stand in this pulpit. I would step down from this pulpit and never come back here again if my children go astray. Why? Because that's what God says in His Word. He holds us accountable. The Bible says we're to be blameless. If we're not blameless, then we're not to be preaching God's Word. There's something else for us to do. It's serious business, is it not? Be not deceived. Oh, how we're deceiving ourselves today. We're circumventing God's Word. Circumventing God's Word to keep what we have. And what are we doing? We're sowing to the flesh. We're not sowing to the Spirit. We're not sowing to the Spirit. Oh, how we need to let God's Word saturate our hearts. Not only are we to be not deceived, but we're not to be weary. Notice this in verse 9, please. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Now that phrase, well-doing there, is doing the good. Doing the good. Remember we talked about that back in these previous verses, about this word good. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Same word. The word good in verse 6 is the same word well in verse 9. Agathos. And let us not be weary doing the good. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now we are not to be weary. This warning is against losing heart. Losing heart. Discouragement. The tendency to lose hopefulness, becoming cynical and suspicious, rather than, as some people would think, succumbing to fatigue. That's not the word here. This weariness here is not talking about fatigue. It's talking about losing heart. Losing heart. There's a difference. You know, it's one thing to be wore out, but it's another thing to lose heart. There have been a lot of Christian school teachers who have quit over the years because they've lost heart. They say, I don't see any fruit. I'm working. I don't see any fruit. What does the Bible say here? Let us not be weary in doing the good. Don't lose heart. Why? In due season we shall reap. Now when is the due season? The due season. We don't know when the due season is, do we? We don't know. It may be in this life. It may not be until the next life. But in due season we will reap if we faint not. We have a responsibility not to lose heart, not to become cynical and suspicious, but rather we are to continue to do the good, agathos, to do what's right. That moral and spiritual excellence, we're to continue to do what God has called us to do in this work. And in due season, we will reap if we faint not. I want you to turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 for just a moment. I want to read some verses here that relate to this particular point. Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be what? Say that, please. Wearied, lest you lose heart. Same word that we have in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Lest you lose heart and faint, where? In your mind. Now understand, who is our example here? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was not cynical when he went to the cross of Calvary. He was obedient to the cross of Calvary. He did not faint. He did not grow weary, though his physical body may have. He sweat drops of blood. The Bible tells us that he was beaten. You know that his body was weary in that regard. But the Lord never lost heart as to God's purposes. And this is to be the thing that we grasp to ourselves, this truth right here. Because it's so easy in these last days for us to lose heart. Is it worth it? You pour your life into boys and girls in a Christian school. Is it worth it? So few of them seem to be taking their place in Christian ministry. So few seem to be doing what's right. Let's quit. Let's go do something else. How about in a Sunday school classroom? So easy sometimes to quit. Young people you pray for and you minister to, and your heart gets challenged over and over again because it seems like they're not listening. They're not getting it. What do we do? Quit? Lose hope? No. We keep on keeping on. We keep on keeping on. Why? Because we will reap if we faint not. We don't know. It may be years down the road that a young person that sat in your Sunday school class comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and it was some connection to that faithful ministry of sowing. Sowing. You see, folks, we've got to keep sowing in the field of the Spirit. If you're sowing in the field of the flesh, then you need to give up and quit, because all you're going to reap is corruption. But our ministry is bigger than that. Moms and dads, your ministry is bigger than sowing in a field of flesh. It's sowing in the Spirit to see every one of your children come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that on your heart and mind every day when you get up? When you get up in the morning to think about your children and realize that they're going to spend eternity somewhere, is that in your heart and mind? Or all you're thinking about is getting them dressed for school, making sure they got their teeth brushed? There's something bigger than that. It's sowing in the field of the Spirit. Wanting and seeing to it that they have the Word of God and it's implanted in their hearts and life, and that you're praying for them and that you're keeping the gospel before them and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, sowing in the Spirit each and every day. Be not weary and faint. In due season we shall reap what we sow. Time will tell. God's appointed time should neither be rushed nor delayed by our actions. Think about that for just a moment. In due season. That is in God's season. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ came, Galatians, we learned back in chapter 4. This phrase is used here, and look at verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come. Same basic root word there, in due season. In due season, the Lord Jesus Christ came. People began to wonder, when's the Savior going to come? He was rejected when He came. When is the Lord going to come again? We don't know. So what are we supposed to do? We're not to be weary in doing the good. And we are not to faint. Now, fainting keeps us from seeing the final product. This word fainting is ekluo. This particular word, luo, is what every first-year Greek student has to learn. We used to walk around with luo cards. Big old thick stack of nothing but the word luo. All right? And it was the Greek word. It's the easiest one to learn all the different forms and endings for. Okay? And I can remember walking out, luo, lues, lue, luomen, luete, luusi. All right? I had to go around, present, active, indicative. Luo, lues, lue, luomen, luete, luusi. I can remember that 20 years from now. I couldn't tell you what all the different things mean, but I can remember that because I had that card. I'd flip to the next one, and you start learning the aorist, active, indicative. And then you had to go and learn the preterite, and you had to go through and learn all the future. And you'd go around and round and round with your luo cards. We all knew what luo was. We might miss every other vocabulary word, but we knew what luo meant. It meant to loose. Here we have ek luo. It means to loose out of. It means to relax. Now here's the point. Here's the point. We cannot relax in the work of the Lord. We cannot just let everything go loose. We've got to keep things in the right perspective, and we cannot give up and say, it's not worth it, I quit. That should not be in the Christian's vocabulary. Why? Because we have a God who empowers us. Notice, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn there with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read various verses from this particular passage. Let's look at the first two verses of 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Ekluo. We do not relax, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We don't cut corners. We don't relax. We don't let everything get loose. All right? Notice verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Then verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. At that moment, this earthly life is ending, and we're in his presence. We're in his presence then. Oh, what are we to do until then? Don't be weary and don't faint. Don't faint. Don't relax. Discouragement is failure of the will. Faintness is failure of strength in doing the will of God. And there's no excuse for that. As Brother O'Pager said this morning, there is never any excuse for a believer to faint. Never. Never to relax. Never to let down. We have to remain true and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can do so if we're walking in the Spirit. Sowing in the Spirit's field every day. Sowing in the Spirit's field. That's how it's done. Now, let's go to verse 10, back in Galatians chapter 6, because I want to finish this up today. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, in view of the certainty of the harvest, and of the fact that the nature of the seed sown, and of the ground in which it is sown, determines the character of the harvest, in light of that, let us not be ungenerous. Now, we don't use that word very often, but it's a word. It's a good word. Let us continue to do the good. Now, here we find it again. Let us do, and in the original language, in both verse 9 and verse 10, there's an article that appears before good. Let us do the good. Not just good, but a specific good. Agathos. Now, we talked about last time the other word, kalos, K-A-L-O-S. Kalos. That particular word is speaking about physical good, material good. But agathos here is speaking about a spiritual good, a spiritual excellence that is given to us here. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, we learned back in Galatians 5:13, but by love serve one another. Now Paul is emphasizing what he said back in chapter 5. He's emphasizing this very fact that our ministry in liberty is not for personal gain. It is not for an occasion to the flesh. In other words, an occasion to sow to the flesh. But it's an occasion to sow to the Spirit. How do we sow to the Spirit? Well, Galatians 5:13 told us, but by love serve one another. Serve one another. I think of that acrostic that we learned as children. How do you spell joy? J-O-Y. Jesus, others, and the Y meant what? You. It meant you. Jesus first, others second, you last. But you know what? We live in the Yaj generation. We do. We live in the Yaj generation. It's me first, buddy. All you got to do is go down to Ryan and watch people going through the buffet line. You'll find out real quick what the pecking order is. You go down there, invariably somebody will cut you off. Why? Because they're going to get that last piece of steak. Did you hear about what happened in South Florida yesterday in Tampa at the Target store there? Some crazy doll that's out there now has come on the market. It does flips. It does all kinds of stuff. It laughs and rolls like the laughing revival over here in Pensacola. It does all these things. And there were three adults. There was an elderly lady and two men that were fighting over the last two dolls. The stronger of the men reached and grabbed one off the shelf and gave it to the elderly lady and said, run with it. The other man went over there and took it away from the elderly lady. And a brawl ensued over a dumb doll. What is that, sowing to the flesh? That's our old flesh. You want to see how the flesh is? I'm going to have it. My child wants it, and I'm going to have it, and I don't care how old she is. I'm taking it away, and I'm getting out of here with it. Me first, the Yod generation. Others maybe, Jesus definitely last. That's the way we are today. That's the flesh. It's always been that way, though, folks. It's always been that way. You need to, if you If you don't know yourself, you need to start writing down. What's the first thing you talk about when you go and see other people? You start talking about yourself. You start talking about yourself, meditating upon yourself with others. Or is there concern for others first? Is there a direction of moving away from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, to others and their consideration? If you are always first on the list, you're sowing to the flesh. And you're going to reap what? Corruption. That's what you're going to reap. Let us work that which is the good we find here. This is the internal goodness produced by the Holy Spirit of God in the hearts of obedient believers, which then finds expression in external goodness spoken by His mouth and performed by loving concern. The Bible tells us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God produces holiness in His children when they are obedient to His word. The same thing is true of goodness. God will produce goodness, agathos, spiritual and moral excellence in His children when they obey His precious word. And they sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. That's what they're going to reap. Titus 2, verses 7 through 8. Don't turn there. Listen carefully. "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Did you see that first line though? "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of," what kind of works? "Good works." Agathos. Agathos. Moral and spiritual excellence in those works. That's what God produces in His children when they're obedient. This goes beyond Romans 13:10, where we read, "Love worketh no ill." That's the negative side. What about the positive side? It is good, as we've learned in this passage, to restore the erring one. It is good to bear the burdens of others. It is good to fellowship and share with one another around the Word of God. It's good to sow in the eternal field of the Spirit. And it is good to continue without growing weary in the matter of doing that which is good. This is all connected together, folks, in this particular passage of Scripture. We are not to be ungenerous. We are to do the good. We are to live before our Lord Jesus Christ through His power and through His strength, and then we're able to do that which is good toward others and be a blessing and a help toward those who are around us. Notice, please, in verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do the good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now notice the two groups that we are to do the good toward. We are to do it unto all men. Now the word "men" is supplied there by the King James translator. It does not appear in the original text. It's simply the word "all." I found it very interesting. I made a list. I went through my concordance and wrote down the believer's responsibility to all men. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about it in the New Testament, about our responsibility to all men. Listen to these. The believer is to take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men, Romans 12, 17. We are to be at peace with all men, Romans 12 and verse 18. We are to render to all men their dues, Romans 13 and verse 7. We are to let our forbearance be known unto all men, Philippians 4 and verse 5. We are to increase and abound in love toward all men, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. We are to make supplication, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings for all men, we're told in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. We are to be gentle toward all men, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. We are to show all meekness towards all men, Titus 3, 2. We're to follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says we are to honor all men. Do you know we have a responsibility to the men, to our generation? We have a responsibility to sow in the field of the Spirit before all men. Because you see, all of the things that were listed in that list from the New Testament are the products of the Spirit of God. They're the products of the Spirit of God. So if we sow in the Spirit, I will have a right relationship with the men of this world, toward all men. But not only that, I'll have a right relationship to those of the faith. Notice that last part of verse 10. Unto them who are of the household of faith. We are to do the good unto all men, but we're to do the good unto the household, the group that we call believers in Christ. Oh, how we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to support missionaries. We have a responsibility to help those that are around us by being a faithful witness and testimony to them. We're to be faithful to the people of our church to do the good unto them. Oh, folks, we have a responsibility before God to the household of faith and to all mankind. And you know what it is, simply put? It's for you and for me to sow in the field of the Spirit. How can I benefit the greater good of humanity? By sowing in the Spirit. Not sowing in the flesh where we're going to reap corruption. No one benefits from that. But sowing in the field of the Spirit, then I'll have the right relationship with God. Then I can have the right relationship to all men and to all those who are of the household of faith. The Galatians had been sowing in the field of the flesh. By allowing these false teachers, the Judaizers, into their church and heeding their teachings, they had been sowing the seed in the flesh. And Paul says, listen, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And what you reap always comes back in a manifold expression. It's always more than what you sowed. Paul's heart cry to the Galatians were, repent. Repent. Get those false teachers out of your church. Stop the sowing to the flesh and start sowing once again in the field of the Spirit. That's the message that Paul communicates here. Be not deceived, be not weary, and be not ungeneration. Do the good that God has called you to do. Do what's right. Follow your responsibilities in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sow in the field of the Spirit. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in these moments today to show us those areas where we're sowing in the field of the flesh. Lord, we do more than we're willing to admit. Sometimes we confuse the two. We're thinking we're sowing to the Spirit when in reality we're sowing in the field of the flesh. Lord, we're going to reap corruption. We ask, dear Father, that you would show us those areas in our life where we're sowing to the flesh. If we're honest and we let the Word of God speak to our hearts, we can easily identify those areas. Most often it happens with our money, happens with our children, happens with material things. It happens in our heart and mind. We start thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and we start sowing to the flesh. Lord, we pray that you would convict us of that sin. And Father, may we put stock in the seed of thy precious word and sow it and sow it and sow it some more, so that we might reap that which we have sown in the field of the Spirit in eternity, a quality of life that will never change, that will not be affected by circumstances, that will not be affected by sickness or illness, but Lord, will be eternal in its value and in its quality. Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, our hearts are burdened for those that may be here without Christ. They're sowing in the flesh, and they're going to reap corruption. Oh, how sad to be in a church that preaches the gospel and yet never get the matter of their eternal soul taken care of. Father, we pray that you would work a work in hearts and draw souls unto yourself. We think of our boys and girls. We think of our teenagers that need to make a move toward Christ. They need to be dissatisfied with the flesh and stop sowing to the flesh and be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb so that they might be able to sow to the Spirit. Father, we pray that you would do a work in this church. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.